It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Obviously, today, the big news coming down from the University of Utah. We were expecting this to come down on Monday, and it never did. Everybody was kind of saying, hey, stand by, and it never happened on Monday afternoon, but yesterday with the election coverage, and then Wednesday was apparently the day that the University of Utah felt it was necessary for...
They're hoping everyone's on vacation. That's what they're hoping for.
The investigation, the internal investigation regarding Morgan Scali and his reinstatement. That's where we start things off right here. It is KSL's Unrivaled's The Cut at 8:05. Let's do it.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so when the news came out that Morgan Scali, so let's play the hits on this before we get to the actual what he said in this teleconference today. Goes from last year's $800,000+ salary to what he was making a couple of years ago at $525,000 a year. But the difference is going to be that he was going to make about $600,000 more than that this year. He was already going to be stepping into over $1 million a year as the defensive coordinator, and had a handshake agreement of him being the next coach in waiting agreement rescinded by the University of Utah as well. Whether or not that's something that's going to end up coming back around if he ends up being the head coach, I could still see him being the head coach of the University of Utah, considering that they reinstated him today. And at the press conference today, Scott, I'm just going to play for you. You haven't heard... We've reported on it all day, but have you heard the actual Morgan
No.
Scali's voice and him talking about it? Well, let me roll it out for you and anybody else who has not heard. This was his very first remarks after Mark Harlan kind of introduced that they would be talking with he and Coach Whittingham and Morgan Scali. It was Morgan Scali's turn to speak, and this is what he had to say as his statement.
My message is simple, but it's sincere, and that is that I am extremely sorry. First and foremost, let me be clear. I am against racism of any kind and am determined to take an active role at the university and in my community in being part of the solution and change. I want to apologize to the young men I have coached and am coaching currently. I had the opportunity to address the full team yesterday morning, and I expressed to them the complete embarrassment I feel for having hurt them and my fellow colleagues in any way. I've reached out to many of my former teammates, players, to offer my apologies, but have not had the opportunity of connecting with all of them. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, I apologize. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm particularly mindful of the young men of color whom I have had the blessing of coaching. I understand that my insensitivity and extreme lack of judgment have caused some, if not all of you, to lose trust and faith in me. I sincerely hope that you will give me the opportunity to gain that trust back.
So look, the first time you heard it.
Yeah. I believe it's sincere. And I believe this was never, ever intended to be a statement of racism from him. I don't think that was his intent ever. I think it was his intent was actually to try to get to fit in, to feel like, hey, I'm one of the fellas. I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the, you know, and I'm
thinking that this is the way to do it.
This
way,
absolutely. So I believe he's sincere about this. I really do. I have no question about that. I just feel that it was actually from him. This like during my time, like they would have meetings about this,
about racial sensitivity,
and how you would talk to people, and I was always this is who I am, right? I'm not going to change who I am, but there's a certain there's a certain decorum in how you speak to people of other religions, in an attempt to be sincere, in an attempt to be respectful, and I don't think Morgan ever thought he wasn't being disrespectful. I really don't. I really think he was in a culture where, hey, I'm fitting in with you guys. I never ever thought this was about racism with him. I don't think he's a racist. I totally agree with it.
It was about him being educated,
he's just kind of dumb about some of the things he's saying. You know, it's just not. Look, we know about. There's just certain ways you talk in certain situations. You talk. We know that on the radio. I think you get worried about me saying something crazy on the radio.
I'm worried about it right now
from time to time, but I don't. I know the line, and I understand there's just certain things you do not say. And I feel so bad for Morgan Scali because this is costly to him in a massive, I mean, financially is one thing. And look,
you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from the public though.
Yeah, but
I know that was
Alex,
something that came
you work
up pretty
hard.
Quickly.
I know, but you work hard. He, the time you spend as a coach, I mean, he spends a lot of time. I mean, it is not an easy road to be a coach. Not an easy road. And he's now in a position. He's worked really hard to get himself in a position to, one, be a top coordinator in a Power 5 conference that demands over $1 million a year. That's the standard. And now he's way below substandard for his job. And it's all because of a comment. And that's scary. It's really scary.
So then I start to think about it in the sense of is he being sincere in his apology, or is he upset, or is he really looking at it and going and crying because he's missing out on $500,000 plus of a salary this year?
I think he's upset because you work so hard to get yourself. Not only is he a top defensive coordinator, but he's in a position to be head coach.
Yeah, and now we knew that it was actually more of a deal than we thought.
Right. And whether that comes back or not, it doesn't matter. Right now, it's not there.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And this is a serious deal. It's a really serious deal that you can't just brush it under the rug.
See, that was a part I got a little bit. There were parts of Kyle Whittingham's comments that were just like, "Yep, ready to move forward, ready to get into practices." And some of that I went, maybe let's not do that in this meeting. About like, hey, let's just move on past this. We're ready to move on past this and just go right to practices. It's like, look, today's not about practice. Today's not about the 2020 season. It's about trying to right a wrong. And even if it was, and I do think it's different than like cultural and systematic problems that some programs are having across the country.
Right.
I think it is way more related to what you're talking about, a guy who was unfamiliar culturally, I think, with how to speak with some of these players. And I think that there is a level of love that this guy has. We've got more stuff to listen to from this, and when we come back, I want to bring that up. I want to talk about your experience in locker rooms too, because I think it's important for people to know how different it is and how different it can be, and how it's not just a one way deal. That sometimes we see racism on both sides in a locker room, and how it can divide a locker room, and how difficult those things can be as players and as coaching staffs, and what has to change. And what has to be different now going forward in college football or in locker rooms in the NFL overall? And the NFL's been dealing with this for years. You were doing these racial sensitivity trainings in the early 90s
right.
in the NFL. This is something that has to be done in college locker rooms now. Now. And you're certainly going to see it at the University of Utah. Stay with us. More to go. It is KSL's Unrivaled on KSL's News Radio. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.